present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games, with Colin Sell at the piano. Your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that does for comedy what Claire Rayner did for the hula hoop. Here are tonight's teams on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. And over there, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And finally, our scorer, a woman who put herself on the map and the rest on the table, Samantha. It doesn't say music. nothing here about music.
You call that music?
We're going to start with a game called Double Feature. It takes as its premise the poverty of the music industry. For economic reasons, new films have to be made as remakes of pairs of old films. The teams will provide me with the resulting titles, which should be a scream. Right, we'll start with you, Barry.
There's a new film that's a combination of Manon des Sources and Goodbye Girl called Sauce Tartare.
Willie?
They've piled together now for something completely different. Inner of the Sixth Happiness and Shane, and they're calling it Completely in Shane.
Graham.
Yes, they're combining A Fish Called Wanda and Barbarella and calling it A Wish Called Fonda.
Well done, Tim.
A rival company have taken A Fish Called Wanda and combined it with Towering Inferno and made a film called Cleese on Toast.
Best Barry Cryer impression I've ever done.
You can have a turn now, Tim.
A combination of my brilliant career and The Man Who Never Was to produce the Jeffrey Archer story.
Right, Barry, you've already had a second go.
So I know.
We'll go over to Willie.
Well, they're putting together Vincent and the Hill. I mean, it's going to be Vince Hill, which would be quite boring.
Yeah, they're combining Lou Grant and the Yellow Rolls Royce to make Yellow Lou Rolls.
Producers are putting together Spycatcher and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea to produce A Mole on the Bottom.
Doctor at Sea on The Untouchables, the SDP story.
On which satirical note, nobody's asked me what the ball at the end of the show is going to be, so I'll tell you. The teams must provide late arrivals at the licensed Vittler's ball. Okay, we go on to a round called Bedtime Story. I shall ask the teams to tell a story, which will be interrupted by some sound effects, and the team must use these noises in their story. So, Tim and Willie, you're going to start first with The Princess and the Pea.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there was a handsome prince called Tim.
This is a fairy story.
Prince Tim one day said to his mother, "I must marry a princess, a beautiful princess. What do I have to do to get a princess?" And his mother went...
Ah, you've guessed it. The queen was Mrs. Thatcher. "Well, Tim," she said, dialing him. "It's 8:23 precisely. High time. You did go out and find something feminine for a change. So off he went, leapt onto a large white horse, and set off with the following noise into the distance.
As he'd said to his mother, "I'm just popping out." To find a princess, he roamed the length and the breadth of the land looking for jazz and princesses. But he couldn't find a princess, and they were either too fat or too thin, and he had to marry a princess. And he got home and he said to his mother, "I've travelled the length and breadth of the land, and all I could find was something like this.
A smasher. This gorgeous creature is she's terrific. She's absolutely sensational. How, though, said his mother, are you going to know that she's a proper princess? And he said, I've got quite a clever idea, he said. She said, didn't she? You read this story, I think. She said, I've had quite a brilliant idea. What I'm going to do is to, and I have to phrase this rather carefully, put a pea in the bed. Which she did. That's quite tasteful.
Make sure the bed was extremely dry.
It was a water bed.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Willie. You wouldn't blame me there. And she said, I must pile on top of this mattress after mattress after mattress, because only a true princess is a true princess if she can't sleep with this pea at the bottom of the bed. Princess Smasher climbed up into the bed, and she heard this strange noise.
So you had a quiet night, said the Queen. I'm sorry about Prince Tim in the next room. But did anything else disturb your rest? Yes, she said. There was this strange discomfort that came upon me in the night.
A rattlesnake. Which squirmed its way into the bed. She said, that's not a rattlesnake. And it's certainly not Prince Tim. It must have been this.
Rather a strange pee, but nobody's perfect.
Now, assuming we've got some noises left, I'm going to go over to Barry and Graham, and you're going to tell the story with sound effects of Rumpelstiltskin.
I don't know it, you start.
Thanks. Ah, well, princess is a fairly safe bet, isn't it? Once upon a time, there was a princess. And she was a fairly safe bet. But one day, for reasons which I won't go into at the moment, she was called upon to spin a whole load of wool into gold, which she found extremely difficult to do. And she was wondering how to do this when suddenly, in through the window came a tiny little man who went...
Sorry, I thought it was the door, said the man. Now, look here, what are you trying to do? She said, well, I'm on a princess opportunity scheme. Trying to spin wool into gold. I can do that, said the little man. And before she knew what was happening, he suddenly went...
And with the aid of his steam-operated bellows, he set about spinning the wool into gold, and by dawn he'd done exactly that. And the princess said, how can I ever thank you enough? The little man thought for a moment, and he thought of...
Wouldn't half like a jump, he thought. I can't say that to the princess. One must do these things decorously. Marry me, he cried. Went down on one knee and...
The princess jumped back in alarm. Marry you, she said, never. And the little man said, all right then. If you want to keep your gold, then you must marry me within the week, unless you can find out and guess my real name. And with that, he ran to the window, and before the princess could say a word...
She tried, but she didn't make it. Dismantling her Punch and Judy box. She thought, I'm in a real fix now, she thought. I owe him the honour of marrying him, but I can only get out of it if I can guess his name.
She's got a good memory, hasn't she?
I wonder if his name is...
Oh, I think
now we'll never know.
We have a round here called Mornington Crescent. And to make it just a little bit more difficult for the teams, we won't be playing Rule 17. That should provide a few sparks. So, who's going to start now? Tim?
We can't play it at all.
You cannot play Rule 17. If I'm going to have to read all these things out twice, we're going to be here all night. You can't play Rule 17. Will you start the game, please?
I can't. If you can't play Rule 17, I can't start.
Okay, then Barry, will you start?
You can't play either part of Rule 17.
Neither. Or neither.
Does that apply to all of us? Or just Tim?
It applies to everyone. The game is going to be played without playing Rule 17. The people up and down the country know perfectly well what I'm talking about. Even Colin Sell's got an inkling.
He keeps smiling. Himself.
Come on, Barry.
Order, order.
Well, it's not difficult, I can tell
you. No, you
did. It isn't difficult. It's impossible.
Park, walk. Beak Street.
Eek Street.
Beak.
Ah. As on successful duck.
Well, failed ducks don't have beaks.
Fetter Lane.
Tooting Beak. Beck.
Farringdon Street.
Chancery Lane.
Archway.
Don't look at me, I can't help you.
Dollis Hill.
Hornsey Rise.
You could if we weren't doing this daft thing about the...
Huh?
That's where we're stymied.
They've all gone quiet.
No.
We're not.
It's not impossible.
It is possible.
It's not impossible.
Not impossible. There you are. Not impossible. Mornington Crescent.
Oh, I don't think... Oh.
No.
No.
No. Not impossible.
Well, we need an adjudication.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not... It's not right. It doesn't work. You were using Rule 17 and it didn't work.
We've had Chancery Lane.
Can you come up with another alternative? Because I'm disallowing Mornington Crescent there.
Rule 17, we can't have that, means Fleet Street's under repair, doesn't it?
You know perfectly well what it means.
Oh, it's done now. I don't know where to go. All right. All right. Chiswick High Street. Oh, I'd love to watch their faces at moments like that. Clapham.
No.
Graham?
Borough.
Clapham, I said.
Oh, you did.
Borough.
What did you say, Tim?
About 3:15.
Borough.
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 Gray's Inn Road.
Tar Hill.
Oh, no.
Golders Green.
Mornington Crescent!
Yes! Yes. Well done, Tim.
No, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking.
Plonker.
No. Many of you now will be aware of the fabulous... Do you mind?
Many of you will be... miming. I didn't understand the mime. You do a mime like that, Colin. Do one I can understand. You know? That looked like Golders Green.
I'd rather have him miming than playing. I'm bad.
The next round is called Gargle Gargle. I will give each team member a tune to gargle, and the one who does the best will win a veal wheelbarrow. Let's start now. Start with Willie Rushton. I suppose you've got to be accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. I mean, they're paying him, of course.
Is he going to gargle as well?
He always does.
Oh.
Willie, will you gargle "I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles"?
Oh, I don't know how West Ham do it. Oh.
Coles, nurse.
Are you all right, Tim?
A little duck.
Right, Graham, now, your tune to gargle is called Anyone Can Fall in Love, which, as we all know, is the theme for EastEnders.
Oh. Sorry, I'm sorry, no. Colin Tell's making me laugh at that. Put it down, put it down.
Work to do, Tim. Because your gargling song is I Feel Pretty. Finally, over to you, Barry. And do remember, these microphones cost money. Your song is I Was Kaiser Bill's Batman.
And George Tim's number from Wet Side Story.
That was like a singing dog.
Kaiser Bill's Doberman.
We're in a dead heat situation, which means we have a tiebreaker situation here. So what I'm going to do, it's a dead heat between Graham Garden and Tim Brooke Taylor. I'm going to ask the audience, first of all, to show their approval for the contribution by Graham Garden. Now your approval, please, for Tim Brooke Taylor. Thanks. Well, the next round is going.
Esther Williams of song.
The next round is called Good News, Bad News. The teams will alternate good and bad news until the whole thing reaches a sweating frenzy when I shall press my buzzer. Like that. Willie starts.
Right. Good news. Oh, yes. 1992 is just around the corner.
Bad news, that means we must be standing outside number 1990.
News, Esther Ranson lives here.
Bad news, she's in.
Good news, Desmond Wilcox isn't.
Bad news, he's round the corner at 1992.
Good news, he's busy watching Neighbours.
Bad news, the Neighbours have caught him at it.
good news. He claims he's doing a fly-on-the-wall documentary.
Bad news.
Tim, will you start with some good news now?
Good news. I've just had a jacuzzi.
Yes, I'm sorry about it. Bad news, it wasn't a jacuzzi when I got into it.
Good news, Jamie Lee Curtis was in it with me.
Bad news, but not for long.
Good news, she is, isn't she? Good news, I've bought a new bidet.
Bad news, it keeps falling off the ceiling.
Good news, at least I don't have to stand on my hands anymore.
Bad news, nor does Jamie Lee Curtis.
Barry, will you start one now, please?
Good news. Willie was in all the papers last week.
Bad news, I was sleeping on the embankment.
Good news, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Bad news, it turned out to be Esther Ransom in disguise.
Good news, it was a brilliant disguise.
Bad news, the neighbours were watching.
Good news, Willie always performs better with an audience.
Bad news, they've thrown a bucket of cold water over him.
Was it good news, Jesse?
No, it was bad news.
Oh, bad news, as far as I'm concerned.
Good news, that hasn't worked, so they've raised the Thames barrier.
Bad news. No, that's Esther smiling.
Okay, here's the game called Sounds Peculiar. I'm going to play each competitor a sound effect and ask them to identify it. Very, very simple. As long as you keep clear of Rule 17. Barry, here's your sound.
That was Jane falling off the vine and grabbing at the nearest thing.
Tim Brookeller, I've got a sound for you here.
That was the final of the House of Commons pie-eating contest. Our winner by a large stomach was Nigel Lawson, who exploded at the end there.
Right.
Either Ben? That or it was Prince Charles rearranging the London skyline.
Graham, here's your
inflation.
What?
Here's your sound.
That was milking time at Sellafield.
Okay, finally, here's your sound, Willie.
That's Harpo Marx playing the porter at Macbeth.
Finally, let's put on our posh frocks now and go to the ball. And today I'm asking for late arrivals, please, at the licensed Vittler's Ball.
There's Gene and Tonic.
Who's that, Gene? My son, Lemon.
There's Mr. and Mrs. Knees Red and their son. What Knees Red?
Oh. Be welcome from Scotland, please. Mr. and Mrs. Turribitters and their son, Angus Turribitters. All right.
And they're very welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Jolly Nouveau and their daughter, Beau. Jolly Nouveau.
There's Alec Guinness. He's appearing in Undermilk Stout.
Preparation for 1992. Will you welcome from Spain, please, Mr. and Mrs. Over the Eight and their son, Juan Over the Eight?
There's Camp Harry with a large beef eater.
Will you welcome, please, Hump particularly, Mr. and Mrs. Tordes, please, from Sweden. And their son, Lars Tordes.
It's cabaret time.
Oh, my God.
Billy Connolly and Quentin Crisp are doing their act, Scotch and Ginger. Billy plays Amazing Grace on the breathalyzer, and then they do the Gay Gordons. And the cowboy fire eater, Buck Hardy and Coke. Careful, Buck, mind you don't get a Coburn. Clean that up as well.
Well, we hope that you'll all go on playing this game at home.
Have I time for a French buttered roll, sort of burr bun?
Mr. and Mrs. Tazanute and their son, Piers.
Well, that old clock on the wall has come to our rescue. So join us again next week from all of us. Goodbye.
Brooke Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Spencer.